Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Good evening, and welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited to have you again with us this evening. Every Tuesday, join us from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, we will have our devotion, and as we always start off, I'm going to ask Mr. Jefferson Barnett if he would read the scripture. And the scripture I'd like to have read is the Luke 2nd chapter 1 through 14. Dr. Nix, if you're there, if you could do the prayer. And
this is Eric. I can do the prayer as well.
Okay. Would you like to do a song? Well, I'll do the song then, since it's the two of us.
All right.
Amen. We love you, Lord, and we lift our voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen.
Amen, amen. The scripture will be taken from the book of Luke, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. This is the New Living Translation. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire, and this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in snuggling and strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby laying in a manger, wrapped in snuggling in strips of cloth." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors."
I've read for you
Luke 2nd chapter verses 1 through 14.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. God, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to study your word and to praise you for all that you are. God, we remember you, your birth at this time of the year, and all that you've done for us. We need you, God, and we need you right now as we begin to study your word today. Help us to understand what true love is. Help us to understand that agape love, unselfish love, not asking for anything, but just giving. God, help us to love one another. even as you love us. Thank you for the opportunity. Strengthen us as we strive to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we're excited. Thank you, Pastor Diggs, for joining us this evening. Tonight we want to, first of all, thank everybody who was with us. We had such a great time this month that we've talked about the topic of dating, love, and godly relationships. And we started off with our men who kind of gave us definitions of what they understood dating and love and godly relationships to look like. And from there, the women joined them, and they gave their perspective in leading the conversation. And then last week, we had a wonderful conversation with married couples who came to share their perspective on how that biblically looks like dating, love, and godly relationships. The question we wanted to ask about this aspect tonight is there truly unconditional love? But before we get going, I want to do a few little etiquette things. I want to remind everybody that as we are in the studio, we can have problems with the sound if there's speaker phones on. So please don't use speaker phones in the studio. And secondly, to remind you that as you are out there, if you would put your phone on mute unless you're talking, and be mindful to unmute yourself when you get ready to talk. So we are just praising God as we continue with this special week, the week of Christmas. Okay, so our question again is there truly unconditional love? That's the first thing I want to ask. You know, anybody want to jump in there and answer that? Is there unconditional love? Is there such a thing?
Well, this is Eric. From my perspective, there is. Of course, God and Jesus shows us unconditional love. I mean, they really do. But from human perspective, I do believe that there is, but the caveat is that you're only going to get it once you are firmly rooted in God's presence. And I say that because of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, which reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance." And that talks about unconditional love, but I just don't believe that we as humans can get there of our own devices and our own accord, that we must have God in the middle of that in order to make that work.
Amen, amen. I mean, for those of you who just joined us tonight, if you put your phones on mute, if you're not talking, we are talking about unconditional love and is there such a real, true thing. Before we go too much further, let's define what that looks like. What does unconditional love look like? Anybody, Dr. Nooks, do you have anything you want to, what does that look like to you?
Well, I think Eric just mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, and I guess I have an example that I'd like to share. I'm a chaplain, I think many of you know. There is a husband, a patient that I had, and often patients, when they get Alzheimer's, don't remember their spouses, and this man's wife did not remember him anymore. Every once in a while, she would know who he was, consider him a nice man, but she would fight him. She had police on him. She would hit him, and just caused him all kind of pain and hardship. And he would cry when he would tell me that. Then every day, he would come and sit with her. Often she didn't know who he was. Hold her hand and be attentive to her. I never had to ask the nurses how she was doing because he always knew. And we would pray together. And that concept of meeting God in the middle of it. That man displayed to me unconditional love for his wife. I don't know what their life was like before, but at that time, and often he would have to, before she was in a nursing home, he would have to take care of her and change her diapers because she was, wouldn't be able to control her bowel or her urine. But he just loved her, and just, even though she sometimes would hit him and cause him problems, he still just kept holding her hand and caressing her and talking to her, even though she couldn't talk back to him. And to me, that was a prime example. What unconditional love
Amen.
Looks like.
Amen. So we unconditional love. Okay, we're in the definition.
This is Eric. And Dr. Nooks, I appreciate that because I watched my grandfather go through that with my grandmother, my dad's mom and dad. I watched her get Alzheimer's and couldn't remember who her husband was for 52 years. And he would sit with her every day while she was in the nursing home and they were trying to take care of her. He would sit with her every day, all day, and he did that for 3 years straight. And never changed. He always remembered the woman that he married and never changed one bit. And he would leave there sometimes crying that she didn't remember him, but he never let her see that. Never. So
yeah.
that is absolutely unconditional love.
Amen. So we have a consensus that we believe that it does exist. So let's look at the definition. We're saying it's when we have the ability to act beyond, to go beyond the type of love and care, and that we have said what's key to that is God enables that, and it's a proof, so to speak, of righteousness. We said, how does that look? How does that manifest? We've said, one, that it manifests as that we continue to love, even as Dr. Nix would say, when sometimes people mistreat us. We don't retaliate if someone does something to us and hurts us. We love our enemies. What else is it? We do good to those people who hate us. Anybody else?
Dr. Sue, this is Eric again. I really don't want to take over the conversation, but I think that part you just mentioned is key is loving your enemies and doing good to those that despitefully use you. And I got to tell you personally, that's a hard road to hoe, as I remember my granddad saying. I mean, to think about people that have set out to hurt you intentionally or even unintentionally, that has caused you great pain, and that you could overlook that and say, well, okay, let's move on and let's see if we can get by that. That's kind of, man, that is tough. And that's why I say I think from our perspective that we have to be rooted in God and in God's word and in God's love in order to reflect that love back to those folks that we come into contact with. Because, I mean, you and Dr. Nooks know of my time at the Y that I used to run before I went into the Homeless Coalition, how bad that board treated me and the things that they did. And, I mean, it was just horrible. But, while I would get mad, I didn't get angry. And I didn't hold grudges. And, I it was only through the grace of God that I could do that. I'm not going to let anybody out there think for 1 minute that it was me because I was so this or that. It was only the grace of God, because there were some days, you'd be walking in there, you're like, yeah, I should have phoned this one in. Boom, it's over. Nobody else has come to this place because it's blown up. But, guys like
Lester Carver,
this is Lester.
Interesting because I'm going through that right now.
Amen,
when we talk about, blessing those who curse us with our mouths and praying for those who spitefully use us and persecute us and all this other kind of stuff. That the point that I think God wants us to focus on is that he will reward us openly when we obey him to that extent. And so when you want to prove the word and test God, go ahead and do what he asks you to do so that then you can see the open reward. My personal testimony right now, though, is, you know, I have a house full of people and my grandson, et cetera, and it's 2 days before the holidays and a lot of outstanding money that apparently it looks like I'm not going to be seeing until after the holiday. Well, you know, my family's going to accommodate me and work with me and understand, you know, but that's not going to do anything for, you know, for me. And then I know exactly what's going to happen is the beginning of the year, everybody's going to want, you know, their needs addressed immediately as if they were responding to their obligations to me. And it's the kind of thing that, yes, you know, it's painful. Yes, I take it personally, not because it's happening to me, but because it's impacting my kids and my grandkids and my wife, and it makes me angry, right? Now, do I let that anger become wrath? No, you know, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to do exactly what God said and grit my teeth and look for God to give me the peace to go through this, right? But it is not easy, but I am looking for the open reward. So it's not that I'm a martyr, you know. I know that God's reward is greater than anything they could provide if they were simply to do right. So, yeah, pray for me.
This is Dr. Susie. Thank you guys for really sharing. It's really important that, I think this is a really important topic, specifically as, you know, again, we talk about dating and love and godly relationships. As I'm listening, I really know that's why the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked, because God has to be in the center of the relationship in order for that relationship to be productive, meaning that we're all bound to fall short at some place along the journey. But you and I know that it's tough enough as it is, as we are both two Christians involved in the relationship with people drawing lines in the sand. You know, if I only go this far, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and if you cross that, that's it. You know, and I have people talking to me all the time talking about how, you know, I only want this kind of person, and I'm going to watch and I'm going to observe, and when I get to a certain, when I see this, that's it. So
does God do that with us? You know?
This is Eric, and I have a perspective on that, if you'll indulge me, is that, you know, when we're rooted in God and we get to that point of that line in the sand, God moves that line. But that line that we set really didn't mean anything. And so we said, well, if you do this again, and the line keeps moving because God's grace keeps moving. Because if God did that for us, would none of us be walking around here?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But that's why, this is Dr. Shooter, that's why it's so germane that we understand when dating we need to have God as part of the triangle of that relationship. It needs to be the two of us and God, as well as when we move into marriage, as the couples were saying last week. Does anybody else have anything that they want to add to the definition of what unconditional love is? And so have we answered the question, can it be manifested in godly relationship?
Well, this is James. I would just like to add that unconditional love doesn't draw those sand, lines in the sand. And unconditional love also doesn't dictate how people ought to act, who they ought to be. I think we have real problems with that in saying that you have to be this way or that way in order for me to love you. And well, that is not unconditional love. That's conditional.
Right. That's exactly why I said that unconditional love has no limits. It has no bounds.
Yeah.
It's unchanging. But when what we do, I said, is that we draw lines in the sand, which is unconditional. I mean, which is conditional love. It's saying that we'll put boundaries up. And Brother Eric was saying is, and when we do that, when God is in the midst of the relationship, God's mercy moves it back and moves it back. We may draw a line in the sand, But when we can go back, if we're in a relationship, if we're in a godly one, God will, the Holy Spirit will touch you and say, move it back, move it back. That's what I heard Brother Eric say. And that no matter how difficult it is, that Holy Spirit and God's mercy is going to work with us and remind us how good, merciful God has been to us, so that we are likewise merciful and treat the partner, whomever that may be, in the same unconditional manner, if I'm understanding everybody. And that's what I perceive.
Yeah, this is Eric. And let me use this story. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I recall being, you know, not even somewhat newly married, but being married for a few years, and you know, it was a real tough situation. You know, still kind of new and still trying to figure it out. And my wife and we're both, you know, believe in God and worship God. You know, she has the way that she worships, I have the way that I worship, but everything else, we're a total opposite. I mean, we're at both ends of the spectrum. And, you know, she would do something or say something, and I would just, I mean, it was almost, I mean, you ever got to the point to where your blood starts to literally boil and your temperature goes up? Your body temperature goes up. And I figured out something. I was like, that's not healthy, nor is it right. And so I learned this practice that when she would do something and it started making me feel that way, I would go in and say, you know what, I forgive you. You know, forgive me for what? I forgive you for what you said or what you did, because I really do want to have peace in this relationship as best that we can, knowing that everything is not perfect and we're going to disagree. And I found that just that kind of conversation started to change, and of course with prayer daily and meditation, started to change those small things that seemed to be so much of an issue to being really a non-issue. Now,
I have a similar testimony. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. Brother, bless you.
I have a similar testimony, in that my wife and I, she's a very passionate person, and the blessing of being married to a very passionate person is they're a passionate person, and the curse about that is that they're a passionate person. So how we started off was she would, you know, throw her tantrums, and I would walk out until she cooled down, right? Because it's not like me to respond in that way. And then later on, I figured that really wasn't working for me. And when she would blast me, I started blasting her back. And I found that a three-day argument became a three-hour argument. So I thought I had the answer. And that ultimately led to our divorce. But when we got remarried, there was something that God showed me. Was when she would come at me full emotion, blasting, yelling, screaming, right in your face, right? In my face. Well, what I learned to do was while she was doing that, speak in tongues to myself, and I could literally see the Holy Spirit get a hold of her, because she is saved. We do have a household. And the Holy Spirit would shut that down, literally. And it was amazing to me, because at first I was just being obedient, but I didn't believe what I was being led to do. And as I was speaking in tongues to myself, you could see the Holy Spirit shut that down, and my lack of response was actually the real power inside of me calling upon God to do something inside of her, because you can't control another person, but the Holy Spirit can. And over time, it gave me the ability to allow her to calm down, to engage her in a real conversation. We learn in very, very heated arguments to put it on paper instead of verbalizing it, because that just wasn't going to work, especially where we really didn't agree. But, people you're committed to, people you love, people who you are in daily contact with, they're going to offend you. They're going to offend you a lot because they're in your face every day. And we have to learn how to call on the power of the Holy Spirit and be led, follow after peace, be angry, but Do not allow that anger to become sin and wrath. And it is not easy. But when you are married to somebody, it is your commitment that makes your commitment, what is it, unconditional love. And these days, people seem to have no commitment.
And this is Dr. Susie, and the reality is that that'll happen with anybody because people are different. And because we're different, we're going to rub each other the wrong way. Nobody's going to agree all the time. We're going to have challenges and struggles. But that's why we're talking about unconditional love. For those of you who are out there in radio land listening tonight, we're talking about what do you do if someone tries to draw a line in the sand, that God will help you if God is in the midst of your relationship to be merciful and to continue in that relationship with commitment. So what we've said tonight is the definition of unconditional love is that it has no limitations, it has no boundaries, it's unchanging, it's always giving, it's even loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, praying for those who mistreat you, not retaliating, and giving freely. So we've got this concept of what it means to be unconditional. And a perfect example of that is the Christ child. So if I could get someone, again, to look at Luke, the second chapter, the first through the 14th verses, because I think a perfect example of this unconditional love was sent to us in the Christ child. It says when the, I'm starting reading from the second chapter using the NIV version, it simply says, in those days, Caesar Augustus made a law. It required that a list be made of everyone in the whole Roman world. It was the first time a list was made of the people, and Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be listed. So Joseph went also. He went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. That was where Bethlehem, the town of David, was. Joseph was there because he belonged to the family line of David. He went there with Mary to be listed. Mary was engaged to him. She was expecting a baby. While Joseph and Mary were there, the time came for the child to be born. She gave birth to her first baby. It was a boy. She wrapped him in large strips of cloth, and she placed him in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the field. It was night, and they were looking after their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around him. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. It's for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Here is how I am telling you the truth. You will find a babe wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the manger." And suddenly a large group of angels from heaven appeared. They were praising God, saying, "May glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth." Wow. So we look at this story and see that the Christ child is an example of unconditional love. So let's talk about that for a moment. How is, and if you agree that the Christ child is an example of unconditional love. Lester.
Was it?
Joseph didn't put Mary away when he found out she was pregnant, and he could have and almost did, but the angel spoke to him. That was pretty unconditional.
All right. Who else is there? Eric?
This is Eric. It is the representation of unconditional love, but only when we take it further than where we are today. Because we see the babe laying in a manger, but the real truth of the unconditional love is the march to the cross. And so we have to accept that this babe is born and this babe is the Savior and the Messiah. But even at Christmas time, our focus still should be on the cross, because without that, there is no unconditional love. Without that act on the cross, there is no unconditional love.
Right. So would you turn and read this chapter for me, Eric? 1 John 4:7-12, please.
1 John 4:7-12. First John 4. Bear with me just a second. First John 4.
So
First
one
John
thing
4,
we do know
7
about...
through 12. Dear friends, this is the New Living Translation. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expressions through us.
All right. Dr. Nux, what do you want to say about that? Let me pull you out. You haven't said anything in a moment. You're on mute.
Sorry. Yeah, it's
okay.
I think it's the expression of unconditional love that God gave his very best, even gave himself, so that we could be a part of God. I mean, that's expressed in the fact that God is with us. Jesus came to be with us. You know, the other religions have God as a distant deity. But in our faith, God is with us. And God made the sacrifice to make us a part of him. And so that to me is the ultimate expression of unconditional love, that you lay down your own life for people.
Amen.
That don't even love you, don't even care about you.
Amen.
And that it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. If you try to use logic in what God does and express God's love, you're going to be lost. It doesn't make sense. Why would anybody give their life for people that don't care anything about them, but they love them so much that they would die for them? That's unconditional.
Amen. Who's next? Thank you, Dr.
This is
Nick.
Eric. This is Eric. Dr. Nick, thank you. And I just want to add this, because this has always, you know, kind of been mind-boggling, but I've just accepted, you know, it for what it is, and God's unconditional love. And so think about this. God created the world, spoke life into being, shaped man from dust, breathed the breath of life into him, and made him a living soul, which means that God could have made other living souls. He could have did whatever he wanted to. And the first time that man transgressed, he could have just wiped him off the face of earth, as he talked about, you know, sometimes, but he always found a way to have a remnant, to have someone to save, you know, starting with Noah and the ark, and then Moses delivering the people out of, you know, Egypt and all of that. So it is amazing to me that a God that awesome, that powerful, that mighty could love and care about like me. Because I know what I am.
Amen.
I don't make
Come
any pretenses about what I am. I know exactly what I am. That he loves me enough to not want me to be separated from him, and gave me enough time to figure that out.
Come on.
At his urging now. Don't get me wrong. It was at his own urging. But he gave me the time to figure that out. And if he could do that for me, I ought to at least try. Not saying that I'm going to be, but I ought to at least try to show the reflection of what he's done for me to somebody else.
Amen. 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 I wanted to invite those people on the line that haven't spoken, Reverend Diggs or Brother Bell or Sister Sylvia, any of you who want to speak out tonight. Is there anything in your experience where God has shown unconditional love for you, or you have a testimony on how you can see how good God has been, and in the sense that you experience unconditional love, or or God has given you a heart to manifest unconditional love? Hello? Well, I wanted to say this. One of the things that... Go ahead. Who's that? Who's speaking? Lester? Hold on a second. I wanted to say that, you know, Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that the love Christ gave for us is the same, was always the same, never changes. And I just wish and I pray that when God sends that love to my life, that I can learn to be loving and forgiving and keep going back and keep trying and not be the type of person that I have a tendency to be, and that's to say, you know, I've done all I can do. But when I make that commitment to commit, and that's what I hear Lester and those of you who are married saying, is that it's not easy. This is not something that, you know, we can do on our own, but we have to do it, as Lester said, even in speaking in tongues to yourself, praying to yourself, enabling yourself to be able to do what it takes to make it to that next step, trusting God and allowing God to enable you to do what you can't do on your own. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lester.
You know, go ahead.
You know, we love our children in many cases unconditional, where there's almost nothing we couldn't imagine ourselves doing for our children. And with our spouses, it can be the same way. If we look at God's example, God said he betrothed himself, he married himself to Israel in the Old Testament. And unlike unbelievers and heathens, the children of Israel would go after other gods. You know, and people who are pagans and heathens, they don't change gods arbitrarily, right? They're gods of the gods. But the children of Israel just openly, this God, and God actually had one of his prophets, I think it was Hosea, marry a harlot to demonstrate what he was going through with his people. And yet, he always made a way back for his people. So when we think we're going through something, you're not going through anything compared to what your heavenly father's endured. But he is giving you an example of how to play this. And there is a reward and a benefit in being able to make a way back, to have unconditional love. But that has to start in your heart. And for many people, it's not even a possibility. So you have to let the Holy Spirit do it, because your flesh is not.
Amen. And one of the things that just came to me, Lester, is as I was reading this at the beginning of that Luke passage, it says, in the beginning of time, and a pastor preached on time and the issue with time. He was talking about how Chronos time is the time that's the sequential time, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. But Kairos time is God time. And the reason why some of us have not got married, the reason why some of us have not received what it is God has that we desire, what we've asked for, is about timing. It's God's Kairos. See, God is in a position right now of preparing both parties. You know, me for the person that God has for me, and that person as well. God is in the process of preparing me for that divine position of that job for when that job has come. I'm not ready for it right now, nor are they. So God is working on behalf of the situation and on the person. So if you have not received, don't give up. Don't think that God is through, you know, because that love is there. God is going to give you the promises that God has said. But you got to understand, it's all in God's Kairos, God's timing, as it was with the babe. In the time, it says that the babe was born in fullness of time. So the things that God has for us, the realities we're to walk into, the maturity that we're going to have, all of the things, if we keep trusting, holding on to God's unchanging hand, and even in the marriage situation, stay committed, then God will bring that situation where it needs to be in the fullness of time. All right, brother, let's see. Did you have a
you said, Eric, did you have something, a scripture you wanted to talk about related to
unconditional? No, actually, I didn't. The only one, and it's going to always be the only scripture for unconditional love to me, is in 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, that is the basis and the backdrop for what unconditional love is.
Amen.
I mean,
love beareth all, love believeth all, love never faileth.
Love is patient.
Could you read that scripture?
This is the New Living Translation, starting at verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
Amen.
I mean, that is the encapsulation of what unconditional love is. And what helps me is that, you know, I read that and then I put in Christ's name where love is. That Christ is patient and kind. Christ is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Christ does not demand his own way. Christ is not irritable, and he keeps no record when he has been wrong. He is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Christ never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. And if Christ is that, and I am Christ-like, then there ought to be some of that in me somewhere.
Well, and I was just getting ready to say, Eric, that you and I and the rest of us who are called ourselves Christians, striving to live into Christ-like behavior, we ought to be able to put our name in there and say, Dr. Susie is blah, 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 Eric is blah, blah, blah. So that we understand that is our commitment, that is our resolve, that is what we signed up to be and to strive for, and to realize we have an accountability. We can't just simply say, well, I can't do that, Mom, that's it. We have to say, you know, I am, you know, going back to the cross daily to be empowered, to get the strength, to get the energy, to be able to fulfill that which God has called me to do and to be in relationship with whomever. If it's a spouse, if it's your children, if it's your husband, if it's, you know, and your boss, in the situations you live in, you can still manifest those gifts with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And let's just say a perfect example is that he may have to, right in that moment, stop and pray, right in the moment of the struggle. And anybody else? Dr. Nook.
I know he's got to come off mute.
Pastor Dick. You there, Jay?
I'm here. This is Jay.
Yeah. Dr. Susan, I guess the one thing that I would be remiss if I didn't say, especially to our listeners out there, is what we're talking about does not come overnight, and you must, and I reiterate, you must spend time in fellowship with the Lord to guide and direct your daily lives. I mean, you've got to do that. If you don't do that, you can forget it. It's a losing battle. You have got to be able to do that. You have got to center and make that commitment. That's the other word we had from last week. You've got to make that commitment that you're going to spend time reading, you're going to spend time in prayer, you're going to spend time fellowshipping, you're going to spend time trying to seek people out that you can talk with and talk to and have open, authentic dialogue with. I mean, you've got to make that commitment to do that. And that is the way that we get there, because by nature, and this is the strangest thing to me, is by nature we want to be what we want to be, and we want what we want, and we want to do what we want to do, and it's all about us. When in fact, by nature, we ought to be what God wants to be, because God breathed the breath of life into us. So we know that there is this constant war that is talked about in Galatians of good and evil, And so we've got to be mindful. I don't remember who you say that, but which dog is going to grow the dog you feed?
There it is.
Isn't that right, Brother Palmer?
But Eric, you know, I think we don't really realize how germane that is. I think we think we can do it on our own. And that's why it's so important to understand that Christ had to die on the cross, because it wasn't just that. You have to understand that sin is a fundamental relationship. It's not just a wrongdoing. It's a wrong being. It's a wrong being. And Christ had to inherit, to take on the heredity of sin for us so that we could become sinless and saints, you know, sinners with saints. You know, the Christ took that away from us. And that those of us, if we don't have Christ in our lives and are functioning without that devotion, you know, I don't know why we think we can actually do it. We think we can wake up in the morning, go to work, do all these things that we need to do, and we will just by osmosis function in a sweet way, in a godly way. It does not happen. We have to be intentional to do something to have godly behavior, to have unconditional love in our lives, to manifest that. It's not going to happen on its own. It's something we have to do, and we have to be intentional in doing that. So I agree with you 100%, Eric, is that it takes devotion, it takes prayer, it takes commitment, as Lester was saying. And the only way we can continue to be consistent with this, I mean, the New Year's are coming up, and the only way we can be consistent with this is ask God to empower us to be able to do that. I got a friend, a girlfriend, Mary, and we talked about juicing. I think we must, we said, okay, we're going to juice the first of the year. I think we juice for maybe 6 months. The commitment to do it every day has to be there. You have to get up and go. And you know what? We're not, if we think that we can get up and do it after our day has taken place, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. We have to do it early in the morning when there's nothing to battle with our time. Because if we don't, then the enemy's going to throw something in our way to keep us from doing it. And if we don't do it early, we don't have that to draw upon as we encounter situations through the day. You know, I don't know, Eric, is that how you've experienced it?
That's exactly how I've experienced it. I mean, I'll give you my testimony. It's been 38 years that I've been reading my Bible every day. Before I start my day, I get up, I read my Bible, I go in prayer, I sing some songs, 38 years every day. And it's like yesterday, when I remember when I started. I picked it up, and you know how you get those plans, how to read a Bible in a year and all this. I would get up, you know, in the morning, and I'd be trying to brush and go to work. Oh, I'll read it later. And, you know, late at night, I was going to read the Old Testament in the morning, New Testament in the evening, and all that stuff. And it always seemed to be something would get in the way. And then you get home and you get, oh, I don't feel like it. I'm tired, I'm beat down, and da, da, da. And now, I mean, I don't leave the house. So whatever time my first meeting is or whatever I got to do, I'll put 2 hours on top of that. Because an hour is for the Lord first thing in the morning. Then for me to get prepped to go do what I got to do during the day. And I'm literally mean this. I will not leave the house until I do that.
Amen. Is there anybody else on the line who has techniques as well? You know, this sounds like it's really an important thing in order to be able to walk in unconditional love. Does anybody else have any techniques?
Fasting is Lester Carver. Fasting is okay. A very good way to allow yourself to, one, engage God in that love relationship, because you'll often see the biggest challenges you have down inside of you begin to manifest, and it gives you an opportunity to practice allowing the Holy Spirit to build some self-control within you. And then you can go from loving God to loving yourself, and after you really love yourself, you can go to loving other people. But fasting for me has been one of the biggest breakthroughs in terms of seeing myself go to a new level each year and being consistent with that.
Amen. Anybody else have any other ideas? And one of the things, while others of you are trying to think of what it is that you do to strengthen yourself in the Lord that you can operate unconditionally, is I need the scripture. And so I try to memorize scripture through Psalm. So I'll create a Psalm out of a scripture because I can remember it better that way. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will comfort you and keep you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, some dramatic.
Mm.
But, so I think a difference.
The Doctor is a musical.
There you go.
My wife makes me watch those all the time.
You know, I was thinking about Fiddle on the Roof when I came up with that one. But
yeah, there you go.
It's the idea that you know, however you learn, however you can remember, I write scriptures on my mirror with a dry eraser. I mean, so whatever it is that you need to do to help yourself be committed to getting God's word in you so that the Lord can empower you in the midst of transitions where you need to be able to function in a way that's unconditional. Let's read the scripture one more time. It says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who is loved has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The babe that came here is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son as a babe in the manger. And we celebrate this on Christmas. Into the world that we might live through him. Now this is love, not that we love God. Because see, we were enemies of God. We weren't God's friends. We didn't care about God. We weren't trying to do things God's way. It says, but that he loved us, even in the midst of our sin, God was loving us. That's why we're so excited about Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always going to love us, no matter what we do, no matter how we fall short. Unconditional love, and send his son as an atoning sacrifice, meaning that when we were acting in sin, not that we were carrying sins on us, but we were sin. He became sin for us, so that we wouldn't have to carry the heredity of sin anymore. And it says, since God so loved us, now, here's Christmas time. Here's our opportunity to show goodwill, to love one another. Because, see, none of us have seen God. But if we love one another, if I love you and you love me, then God lives in us. And God's love is made complete in us. And that's what it's really all about. That's what it's really all about. So as you all experience this Christmas love, we pray that it's unconditional love, that you walk in unconditional love, that you strive for unconditional love, and remember the Son who was sent was unconditional love, and his sacrifice on the cross was his manifestation to us of his unconditional love. Is there anybody else who has something else they want to say, a praise report as we go to the holiday, or a prayer request?
This is Eric. Praise report that God is still on the throne and still loves us in spite of ourselves. Prayer request is I've got an aunt, Aunt Joyce, who really, literally has almost been a part of my life since I was born. Is still battling brain cancer, and the doctors are kind of told us that it's terminal. That even if, as often as they go in and remove the tumors, they're going to come back just as quick. And so, I was up in Ohio in October, and they took her into surgery and got all that they say that they saw, and and now she's having those problems again, and so we're getting ready, my uncle is getting ready to take her back to the doctor, and they already presume that, they're already starting to come back. So I really need to lift up my Aunt Joyce and my Uncle Butch at this particular point in time, because it really is a struggle for the both of them at this point.
Amen, amen. Are there any other praise reports?
Yes. Lester Carver here. Prayer request. My best friend Toby Miller was in a house fire and burned his arms and burned his feet and burned his stomach, third degree burns, and he's recovering, but I'm believing for a healing for him, and I want, you know, everybody to pray together for God to open a door for that to take place.
Amen, amen. We want to lift that prayer, and we want to also lift up Mark Bryant. We want to lift up who others on the line, Brett, because Brett had surgery. We want to lift him up and praise God for him. We also want to lift up Sean, as she is working and looking for other employment as well. Lift up myself, lift up James, as he's working, my son. I want to lift up people who are involved in Legal Shield as they're striving to build their businesses and trusting God in the midst of that for God to manifest. Is there anybody else we need to lift up? I want to lift up Carmen Settles. And there was someone else that asked for prayer last week. Do you remember anybody else, Eric or Dr. Nunn?
Brett. I want to remember Brett.
Okay. Brett and Dr. Edwards and trying to remember who else. I can't remember him, but the Lord knows if there's anybody I left out, Lord, that you would please bless them. Tonight as we go, before I ask that as you close in prayer tonight, Eric, that you would find the studio audience that God loves them. This is also a time when we have a lot of depression and suicidal thoughts and people wanting to give up. But don't give up, because God loves you and God is unconditionally waiting to embrace you and to love you. For those who have no homes and are homeless, we are praying for you. For those who are struggling with addiction, we're praying for you. For those who are alone this holiday season, you are not alone. God is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. So we want to encourage you, if you would like to call in, the call-in number next week is 646-478-4932. We just thank you. Go ahead, Eric.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we've come to the end of our study time, but not at the end of our time with you. We are eternally grateful for all that you have done. Father, you heard the requests, and while I may not list them all, Father, we know that you know what they are and who they are. But I, Father, want to just focus on you and the greatest gift of all. While it is Christmas time and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we know that he had to be born in order to die, Father. And so the greatest gift of all you have given us, the gift of salvation through your holy Son, Jesus Christ. And so while we all run to look for things that others will give us and things that we can give, let us all hold on to you, Father, that you loved us before we could love you. You gave the only Son's life that we didn't have to be separated. Would any of us really give up our children for a good man? Probably not. But you gave up yours for all men. And so, Father, this Christmas season, move in our hearts that we may continue to focus on you for the rest of our lives, that we may know and be assured that you are always in charge. You did tell us you would never leave us nor forsake us even until the end of time. And we that are believers know that. And help us to manifest that love to those that we come into contact with on a daily basis, Lord. For there's a hurting world out here, Father, and the only cure for that is you. And the only way that that world would know it is us. So God, direct our path, our hearts, and our minds,
thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, Amen. Acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.